Hello and welcome to the Mole Valley Farmers Podcast. Getting your calves off to the best start is crucial for maximising herd efficiency and profitability. Effective calf management isn't just about healthy growth, it's also a key factor in reducing overall emissions. So in this podcast, our experts share valuable insights on optimising calf management, from determining the ideal age for first calving to essential nutrition and health strategies. These practices are key to building a productive herd that's not only profitable, but also environmentally responsible. So you're about to hear from Dr. Jessica Cook, R&D Manager at Volac Milk Replacers. But first is Dr. Karenza Hawkey, Nutritionist and Technical Projects Manager at Mole Valley Farmers, who explains more about this conversation right here on the Mole Valley Farmers Podcast.
The discussion today, Seth, is going to be around calves and the importance of calves on farm, how we can look after them, what we should be doing to push rumen development, why they're so important, and sort of looking at starter intakes, weaning, and all the sort of discussions around calf management on farm in general.
Excellent. So if you're into this, then this is the conversation you'll want to keep listening to over the next 20 minutes or so. So let's kick off about the importance of calving at 24 months. So what is the average age, really, of first calving on farm at the moment?
I'll start looking. There's the annual study of key performance indicators across 500 NMR herds that's been running since 2010. So this shows that in 2010, for these 500 herds, average age at first calving was around 28 months. And this has dropped off a little bit over the years. So the most recent figure at the back end of 2023 was saying that the mean age at first calving for those 500 herds had come down to 26 months. So we are heading in the right direction, but still a little bit higher than where we'd like to be.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that. I'd say that if you look at the Kingsay report in terms of the costings that we would do on the Mole Valley side, and the Kingsay report covers all other herds apart from Mole Valley herds, 62% of those herds are running over 25 months at the minute, and 18% are still running over 28 months. So we're definitely going in the right direction because those percentages have shifted in the right direction. But I think there's still some work to do out there, and it's possibly a case of on farm, if you ask what the average is, lots of people will say 24, 25, and that might be the average, but it's the range that you see on farm. So you have some girls that will be calving at 28, 29 and some calving at 22, 23. And it's delving down into those reasons as to why there's such a range on farm and how we can help shorten that range and get everything calving within a sensible age. And you know, then you've not got such a range of age of heifers on the farm as well, which can be a challenge as well sometimes.
As you say, work to be done in this area. So what is the importance of this age for first calving?
The data that I collected during my PhD, as well as many other studies since, have consistently shown that heifers calving down at younger ages, so between 23 and 25 months of age, are the ones that are going to go on to have the best lifetime performance. So there's plenty of data out there showing that those calving at 23 to 25 months have better fertility. So they've been shown to have fewer days to conception, lower calving intervals. The younger calving ones produce the most amount of milk. So they have higher production over the first 5 years of their life, and importantly, higher lifetime daily yields. And that's associated with more lactations per unit of time, as well as higher survival rates. A lower age at first calving has also been associated with reduced somatic cell count in lactation one, so it can bring benefits to udder health. And importantly, there is the environmental impact, because if you calve heifers at younger ages, this requires fewer replacement stock on farm. So actually, by bringing your age at first calving down, there's an opportunity to reduce your methane production due to having fewer non-productive animals on farm at any one time. So those ones calving at younger ages with better fertility, producing more milk, better udder health, are really going to be the ones that go on to have better survival. And of course, this is absolutely key, because we know it takes 1.5 lactations for those heifers to pay back the cost of that rearing period. And so after 1.5 lactations is when they actually start to yield profit back into that herd. So making sure they actually survive through until the third calving is absolutely key.
Yeah, all of those combinations. And as we use sex semen and that sort of thing, and the genetic potential of these calves becomes more and more, it's vital that we switch on the potential of these calves and get them milking as soon as possible. So ultimately they become profitable, which is what we want from them.
If you increase that lifetime daily yield, which I think is such an important parameter to look at, actually what they're going to produce over their lifetime, because that lifetime daily yield is what very much reflects herd efficiency, because it incorporates their fertility, their health, the age at first calving and milk. So, and there's again data showing that the younger calving ones are the ones which have a higher lifetime daily yield. So obviously that's going to increase the cow's lifetime profitability. But increasing that lifetime daily yield is not only economically advantageous, but it's also beneficial to the environmental footprint of that milk. Because if you increase the lifetime daily yield, you reduce the emissions on a per kilo of milk basis, because the higher milk production over their lifetime will actually dilute the fixed amount of emissions that are related to that animal during the rearing period. So if we can get them calving down at younger ages, increase that lifetime daily yield, it is economically advantageous, as well as having that opportunity to reduce the environmental footprint per litre of milk.
So what can be done then to ensure we're giving heifers the best chance of calving down at 23, 24, 25 months?
So I think it's a case of looking at the timeline that, you know, these calves, heifers go through, and looking at each stage and understanding how we can push it in the right direction at each stage. If you think about it, they're born colostrum feeding, milk feeding, in onto starter, weaning, and then through a period of growth. So at each of those stages, we want it to be right. Within that period of growth, obviously, we are going to target an age of first breeding, approximately 13 to 14 months, in order to get them in calf, ready to be calving down at 24 months. And how we hit that target is we want them to be approximately 60% of their mature body weight at that 13 to 14 months. But I think it's vital to ensure that you're working on the correct mature body weight for your herd, because a mature body weight of a Jersey compared to a Holstein is going to be very different. So understanding what your mature weight on your herd is through looking at your typical third lactation cow and seeing what her weight is, and then using that as your mature body weight as a starting point. So if you're looking at a typical herd, you know, you should be achieving 0.8 kilos per day gain as a target growth rate in order to hit that mature 60% mature body weight at 13 to 14 months.
The only thing I would add is it's just key that each individual farm sets its own target. So as Carenza said, you need to know the mature body weight of cows in your herd. So that's lactation 3 and 4 cows, and then work everything back from there so that you know what the target growth rate is that you're aiming for to hit that 55 to 60% of mature body weight at first breeding. And once you've got that, it's absolutely key that you set those heifers off on that right growth curve from day one, because as Carenza said, the typical growth rate that you should be aiming for is probably around 0.8 kilograms per day, and that's 0.8 kilograms per day every day just to hit the target body weight at first breeding, which is no easy task. So from day one, you need to be on it, feeding those heifers enough so that they can hit that target growth rate. I think when we're thinking of that newborn calf, we do need to just make sure we get them off to the right start, and we need to consider not only the nutrition of them, but the health and the environment of those calves. And that's because a calf will use its feed in many different ways. First of all, it actually has to maintain normal body functions. Then it uses its energy to keep itself warm and fight any disease. And finally, the energy left over can actually be used for growth. So that means that if you've got a calf that's healthy and in a warm environment, and for a young calf less than 3 weeks of age, anything less than 10 to 15 degrees C is actually cold for that calf. And when temperatures drop below that, that young calf's going to use more of its energy to keep warm. So if you've got a healthy calf in a warm environment, it will actually be able to use its feed far more efficiently and have more of its energy available for growth than a calf that's perhaps sick or in a cold environment that will actually have little energy left over for growth. So we really do need to think of those kind of three areas and get them right to give those young calves the best possible start to put the feed that we're putting into them to be able to convert that into growth.
So Corinta, what kind of tricks of the trade can be employed here to ensure that happens?
So I think, you know, it's the use of monitoring the temperature as a start, you know, being prepared for when the temperature does drop, or alternatively, as we've seen this week, go really warm and utilising what is available out there. So when it goes really cold, use of calf jackets, heat lamps, looking at where the wind is coming in the shed, those practical management things where you can just little things can make a big difference sometimes. Maybe moving a gate or a barrier if the wind's coming one direction. But ultimately, we don't want to cross off the ventilation because we need enough ventilation to ensure that there's no stale air and the air keeps moving, so we don't get a bacterial buildup, which could then result in, you know, pneumonia and that sort of thing, which is not where we want to end up going, definitely, because at the end of the day, where Jess was saying, the energy to fight a disease or whatever, you know, any sort of immune response by that calf requires energy, and we don't want that energy to be used for that. We want the energy to be used for growth and to get these calves going as well as possible. So putting in a good hygiene management protocols is vital, you know, so especially on a unit where you'd have multiple people doing the calves. It's just a simple whiteboard up on the side of the calf shed where this is what you do in these, you know, and then everyone is doing the same methodology and protocol in order to get these calves going as the best as possible.
I mean, sometimes it can be as simple as that, can't it? Just good communication.
One of the key things to check are your calves actually doubling their birth weight by weaning? And that's what we're aiming for. And if they are, fantastic, you know that you've kind of got your setup right and you're feeding them enough according to your conditions. But if you're not, that's when you kind of need to assess your setup and your system, and perhaps for the particular challenges that calves have got on your particular farm, you may need to feed more to ensure they double that birth weight by weaning. And as a guide, during the first couple of months of life, calves do have a high feed efficiency during that milk feeding period. So you would be expecting, because the feed conversion efficiency is up at around 50%, so that's how much of their feed nutrients they should be turning into growth. That means that for every 100 grams of feed you put in, so that's a combination of your milk solids and your starter, you could expect around 50 grams of growth back out. So if you're not achieving that, that's when the time comes to kind of look at those different parts of your system. Is it the environment? Is it the health of the calves, or actually is it how much you're feeding or what you're feeding them, and is that why you're not hitting the targets?
So we're saying here that not all whey is the same?
Yeah, so not all milk, yeah, there's a multitude of milk powders on the market, we all know that, and it's understanding that the milk replacer qualities are not the same and the processing methods are different between different suppliers, and it's understanding how the protein has been processed in order to get them the best digestibility out of the product possible. So utilizing, you know, looking at the label, but then also using a trusted supplier, talking to a nutritionist who will then go and talk to the milk. You know, we have a good relationship with our suppliers and we can go and have a chat with them regarding things that we come across on farm as well.
And when you're thinking about the dairy protein in your milk replacer, and there's different types of dairy protein, you can obviously get your skim milk powder, which will be one type of dairy protein you can have, or you can have your whey-based milk replacers. And when we're thinking about skim milk powder, that's typically high protein ingredient, but what is key when you're using a milk replacer based on skim is actually you've got a high skim content and that it has been processed using low temperatures, because those two factors influence the ability of the casein within the skim milk powder to actually clot in the abomasum, which is what you're looking for. This is different to if you've got a whey-based milk replacer, because first of all, liquid whey can actually be processed in a number of different ways. So you can simply dry it. which gives you a whey powder that's typically low in protein. You can remove a proportion of the lactase, which gives you a D-lactose whey, which you may see as an ingredient on milk replacers. Or you can actually concentrate up the protein portion of the liquid whey using a series of ultrafiltration processes. And that gives you your concentrated whey protein that's then higher in protein at 35%. And when we're thinking about, you know, the differences in a whey powder, a D-lactose whey and concentrated whey protein, there are differences there. Your D-lactose whey can end up quite high in ASH, which is your minerals, your sodium and potassium, which is not desirable for the ill calf. In your concentrated whey protein, you've actually concentrated up all of the naturally occurring bioactive components that are found naturally within the whey fraction of whole milk and colostrum. So, and those bioactive components are known to have growth and health benefits to the young calf. And this is very different to a whey powder, because you've simply dried it. It's quite low in protein, so you've got a low starting level of those bioactive components. But also the high heat treatment typically used to process the liquid whey for your whey powders can actually destroy a large proportion of the bioactive components that are naturally present. So there's different types of whey that will actually have, and studies that we've done have shown that they actually have a different and can have different impacts on calf performance when you actually feed these different types of whey in a milk replacer to a calf.
Oh, it really gets some... quite technical, doesn't it? Getting into this in terms of maybe volume, then what kind of volume of milk should be being fed?
I think where you start with this is where we started with: everything is a target. So, you know, you need to be targeting the right thing for the right setup on your farm. If it is cold, or if there is a disease, if there's a disease hit on the farm, then obviously you're going to be needing to feed a bit more. So as a minimum, we need to be feeding 750 to 900 grams of milk solids per day from week one. So in terms of percentage in litres, if you're feeding 6 litres, that's 12.5% or 15%. If we're feeding more than 6 litres, then we need to reach our peak milk allowance by 2 weeks. It's over the first 2 to 3 weeks of life that the calf experiences significant health and environmental stresses, and during this time, starter intake is minimal. Therefore, we're relying on the milk to supply the energy for the calf. So it's vital that the milk is going in at the right concentration and volume for your targets. If we're feeding more milk, this is then we need to ensure a good weaning protocol is in place to encourage starter intake and good rumen development prior to weaning. And obviously, if there is a cold or disease challenge on the farm in particularly, then we need to probably adjust our concentration of or volume of milk being fed in order to ensure we're meeting our targets.
I think I would just add, in terms of how we used to feed calves, we would have traditionally sort of built them up very slowly in terms of how much milk we offered them, and then very rapidly weaned them over quite a short period. But actually what we now know is we need to flip that milk curve on its head as such, where we need to feed these young calves more milk from the first week of life, which is when they do experience those significant health and environmental stresses. They're going to need more milk, and as Carenza said, that's when really they should be on an absolute minimum of 750 to 900 grams of milk solids a day. And based on the challenges for your farm, you may need to take that up higher. But then what's really important for these high milk fed calves is that we actually then wean them quite gradually over a 3 week period to make sure that we're getting them to eat enough starter, because obviously their starter intake is absolutely key for good rumen development. And we need these calves approaching weaning with well-developed rumen so that the day you remove the milk, they can actually continue to grow and utilize and digest the starter. Because if they've not eaten enough starter the day you remove the milk, yes, they will actually start to eat starter because they'll be hungry. But if they haven't eaten enough starter in the run-up to weaning, then that's when you'll have a poorly developed rumen and they won't actually be able to utilise and digest the nutrients in that starter.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking to mix at around 12.5% or 15%.
Either 12.5% to 15%. Of course, the higher you mix, so if you go beyond 15%, that will start to increase the osmolality in the milk replacer, which is defined as the concentration of solute particles in a solution. And higher osmolalities can slow the rate of abomasal emptying. So the milk, once it's in the abomasum, will take longer to empty from the abomasum. And the problem with that is that the longer that milk feed sits in the abomasum for, the bacteria that are naturally present within the abomasum will have more time to ferment the milk, which can increase the risk of bloat. So as an absolute sort of recommendation, always stick to what the milk label and the supplier of your milk replacer recommends, because that's the recommended mix rate will make sure that the osmolality of the mixed milk sits within the right range, that you're not going to end up with a sort of any problems with high osmolality.
That's a good tip. So what kind of composition of the milk powder should we be aiming for?
So in terms of composition, when you look down a label of milk powder, you've obviously got energy, protein, vitamins, minerals and ash and fibre as sort of the things to look at. So in terms of protein, the right protein level depends on what sort of system you've got and the calf type. So as a guide, heifer replacements, we should be aiming for 23-24% crude protein. And when you've got a higher base system, again, so tall Holsteins, that sort of thing, whether you're going from real skeletal growth, that's when you push beyond the 24% up to sort of a 26% protein alongside it.
Using a higher protein product at 25-26%, what is key is that you actually feed enough of that milk replacer so that you provide the calf with enough energy, because it needs enough energy to actually utilize the higher protein. And if you're not feeding at a high enough rate to get enough energy in of those higher protein products, the calf can't use all that extra protein and then actually has to break it down, which then actually uses energy. So you're having a negative impact. And for those higher protein products, ultimately they will be more expensive. So you only really get the full benefit from them if your management and your health and the environment is all good, so that the calf can actually utilize the higher protein level. Thinking about energy in a milk replacer, so obviously that the fat level will be on your milk replacer label, but when we think about energy, it's important to remember that actually both the fat and lactose in the finished formulation will be supplying energy to that yellow calf. And lactose is the major carbohydrate in milk, and it's a readily digestible source of glucose, providing energy to that yellow calf. And in fact, if you increase the fat in a finished formulation, an equal amount of lactose actually has to be removed from the formula, because you simply need to make space. So if you increase something else has got to be reduced to make the space for it. And when we're thinking about fat level in particular, studies have shown that a fat level of greater than 20% in a milk replacer can suppress starter intake in these young calves. So ideally, we need to keep fat content at sort of less than 20%, so that we can feed these calves higher volumes of milk and make sure that they're still going to eat starter. Because otherwise, if we're using a high fat milk replacer coupled with the fact that we're feeding higher volumes, these yellow calves will not be driven by hunger to eat any starter. So then that's when you can run into problems with poorly developed rumens, and you'll get setbacks in growth at weaning. So just making sure you keep the fat level just that below 20%, make sure that you can continue to drive starter intake in these yellow calves.
So vitamins and minerals, obviously ensuring that the milk replacers got a good standard of those within, because obviously they're vital for calf development. And then ash and fibre. Fibre, ideally, we want below 0.1%, and that gives us an indication of the vegetable protein content of the milk powder. And then ash, ideally, we want about 7%. But as we've mentioned before, using a trusted supplier and asking questions about the label is always a good thing. investigate what's in the milk powder and ask those questions, because we want a good quality product going to these calves.
Yeah, sensible advice. So we've kind of covered off what should be in it. And this is all based around, isn't it, driving that rumen development. So let's just get a little bit into that. What really does kick off that rumen development?
So ultimately, you know, provision of starter feed from an earlier point as possible to get them getting the hard feed into their rumen. So what's that going to do? It's going to start to ferment within the rumen. So a combination of water and making sure calves have got water available is vital as well. So a combination of water intake alongside feed intake is going to drive the population of the rumen bacteria to grow. And that's going to kick off that fermentation period. So when the fermentation produces what we call the short-chain volatile fatty acids, they then drive further rumen development. Then they also provide the nutrients available for maintenance and growth. So when you look at a fully grown dairy cow, you know, she's utilizing her rumen to pull nutrients out from the bacteria being fermented. So utilizing the starter feed is vital in getting all of this system going. And the fact that the rumen, when you've got a very young calf, the rumen's basically not there. And over this period, the rumen grows and grows and grows into this fermentation vat, which is vital for growth and then ultimately lactation later down the line.
So what sort of starter then should be being fed?
You need a good quality starter. Typical is 18% crude protein with a good raw material list. So looking at the ingredients within that and making sure it's a relatively fixed formulation, because we don't want the calves going off their feed because something has dramatically changed. It needs a good mineral and vitamin quality within it. So a good package providing what these calves ultimately need. There's most people would feed a nut or a pellet, but there's coarse mixes and other products on the market. And what I'd say is that whatever form you decide to feed it in, it just needs to be clean and presented well to them and fresh. We don't want it going off, and we don't want calves turning their noses up at something that's been in a trough for 3 or 4 days, because then they're never going to eat it. You know, the importance of it being fresh and clean and palatable for them is vital.
When we're feeding calves higher volumes of milk, they will not be driven by hunger to eat starter feed. So it's just how we can encourage these high milk fed calves to eat starter, because any delays in starter will result in a poorly developed rumen, and that's when you'll get your setbacks in growth at weaning. So again, there's lots of studies out there showing that starter intake can be encouraged by sort of various different management factors. So pairing or grouping your calves from 7 days of age has been shown to encourage starter intake. And that's simply from the peer stimulation, from seeing another calf in the pen eating starter, the other calf will go and eat more as well. Providing chopped forage ad lib and separately from the starter. So when we're talking about chopped forage, so a 3 to 4 centimetre chop length, that has also been shown to encourage starter intake. And the function of the forage is not nutritional, but it's more there to try and keep that rumen healthy. So the chopped forage acts a bit like a toothpick. So it goes in and cleans those long finger-like projections of the rumen papillae, so they stay healthier and the calf actually eats more starter. And then, as we've said already, weaning them over a 3-week period is absolutely key, so that the calf gradually builds up its starter intake. And ideally, you need to bring the amount of milk solids you're offering to those calves in the last 3 weeks prior to weaning at less than around 700 to 750 grams of milk solids a day. If you get that down to that level, that's when those calves will start to eat more starter. Obviously, if they've got increased starter intake, you're going to get a better developed rumen, which then improves the digestibility of nutrients after weaning, which is what you ultimately want, because investing them in these calves over the milk feeding period is expensive. So if you've done a fantastic job and they're growing really well up to weaning, we absolutely need to make sure we continue that and you don't get them standing still for a week or two after weaning. We just need to continue that growth, which is why starter intake and rumen development is absolutely key to that process.
Yeah, I mean, we're saying, aren't we, that all this research is pointing that a calf fed more milk, good starter intake is much more likely to achieve and hit its genetic potential, therefore increasing lifetime production, which is obviously what we're all about in terms of making our farms profitable. So what age then, how old should we be looking at for this weaning process?
Ideally, around 8 weeks of age. I would probably say 56 days is the minimum age that you should be weaning these calves, because we are now feeding them higher volumes of milk, which is great in terms of supporting their growth and the health and the development. But because we're feeding them more milk, as we've said, they won't be eating as much starter. And it's absolutely key that they are eating around 1.5 to 2 kilos of starter per day at weaning. So as a minimum, 56 days of age. But I would say if you're not managing to double their birth weight by 56 days and you don't think they're quite eating enough starter, which you know is quite hard to gauge on farm, and especially when they're in groups. But yeah, if you don't think they're eating enough starter, they're not big enough, then I would probably delay weaning to 63 days of age just to try and get a bigger, stronger calf when you come to wean it. But I wouldn't go beyond 70 days of age, because the longer we leave them on milk, you can run into problems with insulin sensitivity, which can have a negative impact on puberty and their subsequent fertility. So really, there's a window of, I think, 56 to 70 days. But I would probably aim for most farms and most sort of setups, 63 days is probably going to be the best bet to make sure you're doubling birth weight by weaning and these calves are eating enough starter.
And I guess, Carenza, to get all this done, you kind of need to have a bit of a routine here, don't you?
Yeah, I'd say routine is paramount. You know, there needs to be a set protocol on how you're going to do it. And there's nothing wrong with adjusting the protocol. You know, like Jess said, if they're not doubling their birth weight by 56 days, then adjust the protocol and go, right, we're going to go to 63 days, but have a plan on how you're going to go to 63 days. You know, work it through, utilize the whiteboard scenario. I've seen people using chalk on the back of sheds to, you know, so they know which group is getting how much milk as they're being weaned, or writing on the top of bags as well. Just little things where you know that everyone is doing the same thing every day and these calves are being weaned correctly, and that you're going to get them going well. And you know, you want them eating nice 2 kilos of starter with some forage, and then they're ready to go, you know, onto the next stage of growth and getting them ready for how they're going to progress into the herd. It's, you know, but getting that this 56 to 70 day period right is vital.
And I guess for people who may be thinking, okay, this is a slight change to my operating style, you'd obviously say, you know, give the nutritionist at Mole Valley a call. Yeah. You know, come and speak, probably better than trying to just sort of stumble through.
Yeah, come and have a chat with us. You know, we've got people who would focus more on calves in their day-to-day role as well, so they can come out on farm as more of a sort of specialist and have a chat and talk through your current protocols, make suggestions, and we have a range of different products that we can utilize as well to help in different scenarios.
And Jess, any closing thoughts from yourself about our conversation today?
We're all in agreement that if we calve them at 23 to 25 months, that has so many benefits in terms of their subsequent performance and ultimately that lifetime daily yield. But it's then just how we can do more to make sure that they do actually calve at 23 to 25 months. And I think we've obviously focused on that milk feeding period, but it's absolutely key, if we've done a fantastic job up to weaning, that we keep it going. So if you've invested in them and they're doubling their birth weight by weaning and they're looking great calves, then we need to continue monitoring them, measuring growth rates. So at the minute they reach that 55 to 60% of mature body weight at first breeding, we get them bred so they can then be on their way to calve down close to 24 months, which is the absolute sort of ultimate goal that we're all working towards.
Thanks for listening today. We really value that you chose to listen to our podcast. If you haven't already, then please hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to this today. And until next time, I'll speak to you soon.